Algar Productions.
Divergent Endeavors, a collection of short stories, Volume 3. Lennox by Chris Page.
Hey, Mom. I did it! I finally did it! Crewman Lennox of the Endeavor, can you believe it? Well, I mean, I will be. The ship isn't even finished yet, but Crewman Lennox of Nimbus Station doesn't sound as cool. Pretty cool, but not as cool. But really, I get to build a starship. One that'll explore uncharted space, a whole galaxy full of new and exciting things. Hopefully all those hours I spent building starship models as a kid will pay off. I know Dad's probably still mad I signed up. I'm sorry I didn't tell you guys until after I left, but I didn't think you'd let me go. You know how he is about Starfleet. I haven't met my bunkmates yet. I heard we might be working with the Romulans and the Cardassians on this project. Maybe even the Klingons. I wonder if they'll put us together in the same bunks. I'm not sure how long it'll take this to reach you. The Omega Quadrant is impossibly far. There's so much going on, I don't know when the next transmission will go out. I'll try to message when I can. I hope neither of you are too mad at me. Hey, Mom. We have a rare quiet moment here, so I figured I'd send a message. Engineering is hard. It's the most difficult thing I've ever done. But Mom, I am so good at it. Maybe even better than Aunt Claudia was, and she made chief engineer. I'm not allowed to go into details for security purposes, but a lot of the work requires us to be out on the hull of the ship. Being out in space is amazing. I've never felt anything like it. You're floating there and everything is so big and I don't think I can ever explain it. Sometimes I just sit and stare at it and then Ensign Sasek tells me to get back to work. Yeah, that's who I report to. He's super big on following strict security protocols. Ensign Sasek says that a few years ago he was staring off into space and somehow managed to lock eyes with a non-Euclidean being. At least that's what the science division told him. Yeah, really. They apparently have those out here. Non-Euclideans, I mean. Anyway, he was a sentient purple gas cloud for about 40 minutes. He got better, though. I guess he has a good reason for being so strict. Thank you for the care package. You'll be happy to know that the Starbase 11 model came through fine and is safely stowed in my quarters. Also, the noodle packs smell amazing. They're not as good as your noodles, but they're better than anything in the Omega Quadrant. I keep thinking about Dad, how he'd say, "Everything you need is right here on Earth." In a way, he's kind of right. I miss being able to look up at a big, open sky or listen to rain. Never thought I'd miss rain. But life with just the things you need doesn't feel like living. I want to see space. I want to see things that nobody else has ever seen. And I won't find that on Earth. My bunkmates are all human, which is kind of disappointing, I guess. We work opposite shifts, so we don't spend a lot of time together. One of them claims that he helped develop Nimbus's quantum transporter. Pretty much every person in engineering claims the same thing, so it's hard to say how full of it he is. A couple of the security guys joined us for lunch yesterday. One of them, Ensign Powell, guards something super important on the lower decks. He can't tell me much. He says the whole thing is way above my pay grade. According to Powell, all he could say about security was that it involves standing at attention and guarding whatever top secret thing they've got down there. Oh, I almost forgot. The starship is almost complete. Or at least it's taking on more of a starship shape, if you look at it from a distance. Give my love to Dad. Hey, Mom. Sorry it's been so long. We've been super busy getting everything ready for the Endeavor. All that's left is double and triple checking the systems for errors. As Ensign Sasek is fond of saying,
little errors can lead to catastrophic changes to one's biology.
Between him and Ensign Powell, I'm getting a full education on just how many things can go wrong in space. But I'm fine, don't worry. The odds of personal harm are statistically very low at this point, according to the Starfleet training docs. Powell has been great, though. He's got a ton of cool security stories, and almost half of them are probably true. He also just has a way of talking that makes you feel safe. Probably why he's in security. My big responsibility is to maintain the duranium integrity stabilizers. According to Sasek, I'm well suited to it due to my naturally tiny hands. Thankfully, nobody started calling me baby fingers yet, like in school. Sasek says he'd do it himself, but his tiny hands are due to a transporter error and could return to their normal size at any moment. At first, I didn't believe it, but they are weirdly tiny. I guess that's why he never shakes hands with anyone. Hopefully Dad's doing better. I know the doctor said it's just a heart murmur, but maybe you can convince him to take it easy a bit. It's going to be a while before I can get leave and visit. Take care of yourself, Mom. I'm so sorry, Mom. I know it's been a while since my last message. We were out testing the new starship and there were issues with the comms. I just got your message about Dad. I hope the funeral was okay. I know Dad always hated those types of things. I can almost hear him complaining about how Starfleet kept his only kid from coming home. It was always Starfleet's fault with him. Sorry. I would say let me know if you need anything, but there's not much I can do from the Omega Quadrant. The starship is running great. Well, mostly great. Remember how I'm supposed to be in charge of those stabilizers? I think that I may have missed something when I fixed them last time because the system keeps throwing up errors. I fix it and then it breaks down again a couple days later. Sasek says it's good job security. All I can hear is Dad saying that if I'd done the job right the first time, it wouldn't be having this issue. But I know how to build stuff, and I built the platonic ideal of a duranium integrity stabilizer. Pal says not to worry about it, that I'm overthinking things, and that way out here in the Omega Quadrant, some stuff is just going to break differently. I think he's just being kind. I don't know, Mom. Everything seems to be breaking the usual ways, except for those damn stabilizers. Let me know if there's anything I can help with. It'd be nice to do something, right? Hi, Mom. I appreciate your last message. You don't have to worry. Everything is okay. I think. I've decided to take a more philosophical view. Maybe those stabilizers' natural state is to be broken. Maybe their purpose is to break and give me purpose to be around. Yeah, sounds dumb to me too. I've been spending a lot of time with Ensign Powell lately. It's cool learning the little tricks of security. The details that nobody notices. We have a game we play where I sneak into his bunk and move one thing out of place, and then he tries to tell me the next day what it was. He's gotten it every single time. His attention to detail is immaculate. I've even tried adding things to his room, and he still notices. He has this thing that he does where he kind of tugs on his hair while he's thinking. Anyway, whatever it is he's guarding down on the lower decks is in good hands. Oh, the first members of the crew have been arriving. Apparently, they're officially going to launch the ship soon. I even met the captain. He told me to call him Cap. Oh, sorry, Mom. I gotta go. My stabilizers are acting up again. Hey, Mom. I don't even know where to start. I don't know if word got out to you or if Starfleet will let this message go through. There was an incident at Nimbus Station. I'm fine, obviously. I mean, I'm not fine. I'm not, well, I guess I'm uninjured. Nobody's telling us anything. At the moment, I'm stuck in my quarters. The only reason I know anything is because Sasek said something about the poor bastards on Nimbus. I can't get a hold of Powell. I left a note in his quarters the last time I was there. Oh, so stupid. I hid it between his bunk and the wall. I told him that I enjoyed our time together and that maybe we could be more than friends. Wait, is that why he's not responding? Did I creep him out? Holy shit, did he get so creeped out that he did something stupid? Oh my God, maybe I distracted him at a critical moment and he accidentally took out Nimbus Station. No, that's dumb. Get it together, Lennox. He's a professional. He's probably not freaking out at all. He's just calmly standing at attention, guarding whatever important thing is down on deck 38. At least I'm safe on Endeavor. Sorry, Mom. I don't know who else to freak out at. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know if you'll get this, Mom. Powell is dead. They sent his stuff back home. Nobody's told me much of anything about what happened. It's all above my pay grade, I guess. Word around the mess hall is that the Ferengi did it, or that some secret weapon the Federation was building blew up. I don't know. I'm not sure it matters either way. Sasek is on me about those duranium stabilizers. I'm not sure I'm supposed to bring myself to care. Supposedly, we can get counseling, but what am I supposed to say? There was a guy that I liked on Nimbus who got blown up? It's not even like we were a couple or whatever. Once Endeavor got up and running, we were barely friends, I guess. I hope you're still getting these. I didn't get a response to my last message. I could really use a friendly voice right now. Mom, I talked with the people in comms. They said everything's going through fine on our end. I guess there could be an error in your replies. If you're seeing this, see if you can get someone to fix your relay. I'm tired. Ensign Sasek has threatened to throw me in the brig if I don't get it together. I guess he can't really demote me. I'm already just a crewman. But what's the point? The stupid duranium stabilizers are going to break. I'm the only one that can fix them. Apparently, while I was hiding in my room, they had other people try. But nobody could do it. I'm pretty sure that's Sasek's way of motivating me, but I just don't care. I did some digging, Mom. You know what caused the Nimbus disaster? A stem bolt. A stupid, little, insignificant stem bolt. And I know what Dad would say. He'd go on about, that's what happens in Starfleet. Everything's already done for you by the computer. Nobody cares about details, blah, blah, blah. But Powell cared. Powell lived for details, and now he's dead. Because of a stem bolt. So why does it matter? Who cares if I fix those stabilizers? Even if I fix them a million times, someday they'll lose a stem bolt and the whole starship will explode. Can't even record a message in peace. I hope you get this, Mom. I'm sorry I made such a terrible mistake. I never should have come here. Hey, Mom. I heard about what happened back on Earth. I know you won't be replying to this. The counselor says it's a good habit, though, so I'm sticking with it. Yeah, I'm seeing a counselor. After my last message, the duranium integrity stabilizer system went down for good. Ensign Sasek kept babbling about how he's already survived 2 complete hull collapses and he didn't want to risk his luck on a third. Everyone was scrambling around. There was talk of loading folks into the runabouts and abandoning ship. The whole time I was staring at the stabilizers and thinking about stem bolts. It turns out there was a piece missing. Some idiot back at the factory connected a chip the wrong way and nobody caught it. I had to disassemble the whole damn stabilizer system, over 1,000 individual units, borrow 1 single isolinear chip from the reserve supply we set aside for the holodecks, and rebuild the duranium integrity stabilizer system on the fly. And I did it. Ensign Sasek says he wants to put me up for promotion. I guess I'd be Ensign Lennox of the USS Endeavor then. I don't know how to feel yet. Proud, I guess. I went back to Nimbus. My counselor says it's an important step. I couldn't make myself go to the mess hall. It took everything I had just to step on board. I ended up at a random viewport, just watching the enormity of space. I don't know how long I stood there. I didn't hear you, or Dad, or even Powell. I didn't hear anything at all. It was just peaceful. In that moment, I remembered why I joined Starfleet. The universe is so impossibly big. Even in our tiny piece of the Omega Quadrant, none of us could ever see it all. There's so much that we don't know, and it's beautiful because it forces us to rely on each other. Life isn't supposed to be here, and we're making it happen. And when a missed stumble or the wrong isolinear chip can be all that stands between life and death for dozens or even hundreds of people, it makes everything else feel small and petty. I'm rambling. Pal used to say that space would do that to a person. think I belong out here. There isn't anything left for me back on Earth. And I think I'm okay with that. I hope that you will be too. I don't know if I'll send any more of these. It seemed important to send one last message, to let you know that I'm okay out here in space. I love you, Mom. I hope you get to hear this.
Flores para los Muertos by Ron Algarwat.
The time is 0730.
Oh, I'm aware of this computer. I've seen a lot of 0730s in my time, and this one might be the 0730-est of them all.
Clarification. Your first appointment of the day is scheduled for 0730.
Well, that's clearly an error. No one in their right mind would schedule anything with me before noon. Computer, identify origin of this anomaly in my itinerary.
Calendar event was created by Captain Peter West on Stardate 78043.
That doesn't sound like me at all.
Appointment includes the following note. Quote, please inform my future self that I did actually set a meeting well before my usual threshold, as it was the only convenient time for Mr. Todd. Or is it just Todd? Question mark.
I remember this now.
Note continues. Sorry for the inconvenience, big guy. But you've handled much worse than an early meeting in your long and storied career, and I have every confidence this will present no problem for you. End quote.
Oh, I can't stay mad at you, you charming bastard. Computer, where is Todd now?
Todd has been waiting in your outer office since 0630.
Okay. First thing in the morning is hardly the best time to negotiate with Ferengi. But I can do this. If nothing else, I have the confidence of my favorite captain. Computer, admit Todd for his appointment.
Good morning, Captain West. Thank you for taking this meeting. I know it's not the most convenient time for you.
You're welcome.
May I sit?
By all means, make yourself comfortable. Can I offer you some... refreshment?
Thank you, no.
All right, Todd, what's your game?
My game?
I assumed you wanted to see me this early to catch me off guard. It's a pretty shrewd negotiating technique. Even if you had no way of knowing, I'd be recovering from the worst hangover I've experienced in two galaxies in 200 years. And I probably shouldn't have told you that just now. Which only serves to illustrate just how bad a hangover this is.
Relax, Captain. I'm not here to negotiate.
Oh, God, I just assumed that since you're a Ferengi, you must be here to talk to me about selling something. I apologize. I'm trying to get better about that sort of thing, but, well, it's a process.
Apology accepted. And if it makes you feel any better, I am here to talk to you about selling something.
But I thought you just said...
Oh, I don't want to negotiate. I'm interested in selling an item on the station, and I simply wish to get permission to do so from the Admiral, along with the other senior members of the Nimbus Project.
Permission? You don't need our permission. Daemon Pock pretty much owns this station now. You can just take this up with him.
I do not wish to involve the Daemon in this.
Okay, listen. I can't speak for the other senior staff, but I can speak for the Admiral, since that's my actual job and all, and I'm certain he does not want to get in the middle of a power struggle between you and Pock.
No, it's not about that. Please let me explain.
I wish you would.
You probably know all of this already, but Daemon Pock was presumed dead 4 years ago, and as his protege, his holdings passed to me. I wasn't exactly the adept businessman that he was, and when he resurfaced 6 months later, there wasn't much left to hand back over to him.
You're right.
You do know all of this already?
Well, yes, but I meant the thing about not being an adept businessman.
Ferengi law is very clear in cases like this. If someone's assets diminish in value while they're in the temporary possession of a second party, that second party is required to repay the difference, plus interest.
Sounds right.
Only, Pock was also entitled to seize my assets, worthless as they were, as partial restitution.
Leaving you without the means to earn what you owe him, therefore leaving you forever in his debt.
Exactly.
So, what, you've managed to acquire something he doesn't know about. You're hoping we'll give you our blessing to sell it without his knowledge? That sure sounds like you're trying to get us involved.
I fully intend to inform the Daemon of my intentions, but not before I've spoken with you and the others. Here, let me just show you the item. I brought one with me.
It looks like a flower.
It is a flower.
It's a particularly beautiful flower, mind you. I would go as far as to say stunningly beautiful.
I agree.
But there's got to be more to it, right? Does it have narcotic properties? Is it a quarantine hazard of some kind? I suppose I should have asked you that before I started pawing at it.
No. It's completely safe for all known life forms. You could even eat it if you wanted, but you probably wouldn't want to.
I don't get it, then. What's so special about this flower? You think you need to run it by me and my various counterparts before you sell it?
It's Makarian.
What? From Makaria colony? That doesn't sound right. They rather famously only wanted Earth-native flora and fauna on their planet. This definitely does not look like anything that grows on Earth.
It's not from the colony. It's... well, it's all that's left of the colonists themselves.
Todd, I hope you don't interpret this as me trying to push my own cultural norms on you, but I really need you to start making sense soon. I have very little mental energy to get me through what looks like a very long day, and I cannot use all of it talking to you about a flower.
Remember the big scare a few years ago when everyone thought the Makarians had a Genesis device?
Starfleet and the Federation cannot confirm the existence of a...
of a Project Genesis, blah, blah, blah. We've all heard the official statement. Please don't insult my intelligence.
You think it makes me happy to quote regulations like that? It goes against my very nature.
The Ah managed to seal the Makarians inside a stellar enclosure not long after that, which is a matter of public record, so don't bother denying it.
No, that one's something pretty much everyone knows.
Right. But now, I come to the part that not everyone knows about. Not because it's a secret or anything, just because the Ah are still sorting through a lot of data. I expect they'll be reaching out to all of you in the near future.
But you know about it now.
I do. Daemon Pak hasn't managed to get a foothold on the Ah homeworld yet, but he has established some trade routes with their more remote scientific outposts, and he has me servicing those accounts, so I have a pretty good rapport with those scientists.
You do?
You're not the only one interested in improving themselves.
Touché.
I was on a routine visit to the outpost monitoring the stellar enclosure, and I noticed there were significantly more personnel on hand than usual. I assumed there must have been some morbid curiosity among the Ah about this little racist zoo they'd built.
Well, I love that. I'm calling it that from now on.
And I would have loved to license the use of that phrase to you, but it's no longer an accurate description.
What, they stopped being racist? That doesn't sound...
No, Captain. They stopped being alive. The Ah scientists believe, and this is what they're trying to confirm before they report it to you, that the Makarians managed to actually construct a Genesis device. Some kind of undefined terraforming device that is in no way affiliated with Starfleet or the Federation.
Thank you.
And then detonated it near the edge of the enclosure in an attempt to escape.
You're kidding me.
The resulting explosion failed to destroy the enclosure. It also generated a massive energy wave which bounced back toward Makaria and, as per its hypothetical design, obliterated all life on the planet and began creating a new organic matrix.
Todd, if any of this is true...
I cannot confirm that it's true because the Ah are still working on that themselves. But this is the theory they shared with me, and you'll be receiving that same information anytime now. I only know it first because I happen to be there, and I'm friendly with a few of those guys.
This might be the funniest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I mean... yeah, people are dead. I know we're not supposed to be happy about that. And if you ask me the official position of the Admiral's office, I would probably give you a very different answer. But between you and me...
Yes, I understand. And I've been wrestling with my exact feelings about all of this myself. It's a complex issue, which is precisely why I'm here, Captain.
But I still don't see what this flower has to do with... Wait, did this come from...
inside the stellar enclosure after the explosion? Yes. The Ah outpost was studying dozens of samples when I arrived. This flower and many more like it were among the first they looked at. They had finished with this sample, they had a lot more to study, and their research space is somewhat limited, so they were considering disposing of it when I convinced them to give it to me.
And this is what you want to sell on our station? This frankly breathtaking horticultural specimen? built from the atoms of dead racists.
Exactly so.
Oh, Todd, you not only have my blessing for this undertaking, but I would be very interested in being your first customer. How much are you asking?
Well, my gut instinct, let's just say that has never once gotten me anywhere good, so I ignored that and gave it some serious thought first.
Now, you and I are very different people.
And I was thinking, one bar of latinum? Does that feel too high?
I would happily give you an entire bar of latinum for this treasure.
Far be it for me to talk you out of a sale, Captain, but treasure might be overselling it just a bit.
Absolutely not. You said it yourself. We're all trying to improve ourselves. I'm trying to correct for over a century of outmoded thinking. You're trying to learn from your early failures to become a better capitalist. And this flower shows that even the ugliest and most irredeemable creatures can become something beautiful.
They just need to be completely obliterated and rebuilt from an atomic level.
Exactly. See, you get it.
Transport by Maggie Robotham.
Stupid Heisenberg compensator. Compensate this.
Oh.
Dal?
Nope. Not Dal. Somebody else. Somebody who was just leaving.
Dal, get back here. It's fine.
No, it isn't. Wait, what are you doing here? It's 0300 hours.
Routine maintenance.
At 3 in the morning.
It's the least busy time of the day. Transporters are constantly taking people to and from Nimbus as well as the rest of the fleet. What are you doing here at 3 in the morning? Can't sleep again?
Everything's been just a whole lot lately. Look, you're working, and I really wasn't planning on getting into it with my ex tonight. I'll just go.
No, stick around. This is long, boring work. Tell me what's going on.
I miss Kutch.
We all miss Kutch.
Yeah, but I really miss Kutch. I miss my buddy. Thought I'd go over to Nimbus, walk around, stare longingly at a bar.
Well, that's not happening now, unless you want to wait for the next shuttle over at 0430.
You can't just send me over now? What are you working on that's so important?
Heisenberg compensator needs to be cleaned out twice a month, or the transporter starts pumping out soulless automatons.
Beg your pardon?
You've never heard the theory that the transporter just disintegrates people and then rebuilds new people who don't know the difference? The Heisenberg compensator compensates for that.
By doing what?
Compensating?
Come on, Saskin.
Oh, Saskin, huh? I guess you are off duty. A little informality isn't uncalled for.
Sorry, I just...
No, it's fine, doll. Look, I'm not doubting your intelligence, but this can be a lot. And it tends to land people in a deep pit of contemplation that results in them taking a shuttle everywhere.
I could use some contemplation right now.
Not if it stops you from doing your job?
The only thing that stops me from doing my job is me. And I'm working on that.
I hear it. Good for you.
Thanks. Look, Saskin,
Don't. It's okay. I'm perfectly willing to work with you as an extremely superior officer and a person you cannot awkwardly talk to in the corridors.
Well, let's not go nuts here.
But I'm not ready for the look, Saskin, eye conversation. Especially when I'm trying to make sure this thing doesn't accidentally send the captain into the mirror universe.
Really?
Yeah, it's the place where you're a good girlfriend.
All right, I deserve that.
And so much more. But the fact that you know helps. Look, this thing isn't going to be done anytime soon, so you probably should just wait for the shuttle.
I think I might just head back to my room, actually. I feel my loneliness fading.
Glad to hear it. I'm glad you're doing better.
Thanks.
Now get out of here before I merge you with Ensign Sad Sack.
Oh, God.
Divergent Endeavors Volume 3 featured Mark Bosco as Todd and the narrator, Jason Ellis as West, Leah Friars as Lennox, Aubrey Schaefer as Myra Saskin, and Amanda Smith as Dal Lacerto. It was written by Chris Page, Maggie Robotham, and Ron Algar-Watt. Original theme and additional music by Rich DeThorne. Production copyright 2024 by Algar Productions.